Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Wow, wow, wow. The debut of Cameron Ward at Titans training camp. We are officially back in the house. 2025 season is underway as the Titans reported for training camp on Wednesday. We'll have some hits from there, some of the tidbits and nuggets that we got to watch at practice. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We got Parker Kelly over here sharing the notes too. And Parker, let's jump right into it because we're going to get into some other things with Chris Sanders a little bit later. But let's jump right into just what were your initial thoughts when Will Levis, it was announced that he's having the season-ending surgery.
Obviously, from a human perspective, I feel really bad for him because I know when you're watching your replacement get drafted first overall, I know that could be tough on the emotions. But honestly, I thought it was a business decision by Levis. Whether it was he wasn't going to get a lot of play time and just decided to get the surgery so he could be at 100% next season, I think that is a smart move. And I've heard plenty of stories of players go ahead and getting whatever cleanup surgery they need done, and they come back at their best. And I'm not sure if Will Levis will be on the roster next year, but if he is able to be 100%, I hope that he ends up in a good place where they can get the most out of him.
Yeah, wherever he ends up, I do hope it's a good place for him. And he's been a good soldier, right? Considering what has happened, I mean, the man was not put in the best situation for success last year. Now, obviously, he messed a lot of things up himself, and that's why they ended up being able to and going ahead and drafting Cameron Ward. But I think the decision is a long-term one, and he's focusing on his future. Because my thing is this, Parker, what happens if he gets traded and, you know, the team fails his physical because they see something in the shoulder they don't like? So I get going ahead and getting it fixed. He did say he had some soreness during minicamp at times. Twice he said that. He went to get a different opinion, and they said, hey, you know what? You did all that rest and rehab. Because remember, this injury is going back to, what, week six last year? Week five? Something like that?
Yeah, I believe it was week five.
So the Dolphins game, the Monday night one. So, I mean, look, it is what it is. But now the focus is on Cameron Ward. So let me ask you this. Cameron Ward, what do you think of what you've gotten to see from him so far in camp?
I'll go based on what I saw today was a lot of short, intermediate type routes. I did not see a whole lot of deep concepts really from any of the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was they were just working on the short game today. I thought Cam Ward did a good job of timing, tying his footwork together with the timing of the concept. There was one play, I believe it was during the early team period, where he took a three-step drop from under center, looked to his left, Reed wasn't there, took a reclaim, went back to the right and threw a hitch to Elik Iomanner. And I was honestly kind of surprised he had enough time to do that. But I thought that was one of his better plays considering what they did today. But I really thought that he did a good job getting the ball out quick, had a couple of miscommunications with Calvin Ridley. But overall, on the first day of training camp, I thought it was pretty solid.
Yeah, and those miscommunications, that's something you definitely want to note. They're going to have to focus on that and work through. But the timing to me was the big thing. And just making sure, as you said, that he was in sync with the receiver's routes. And there were a couple times where I saw him kind of have to reset, and he did it. And the thing that was impressive to me is he didn't pat the football, right? And that was one of the big things that people had started to mention. You know, the nitpickers, the white glovers, hey, don't pat the football. He always pat. You didn't see that. And I think even while resetting and trying to find somewhere else to go with the football, he didn't do it before he threw. So that's a good thing. But going back to the timing, that's an area of focus. And if you remember early in OTAs, Elik Iomanner was like, he's always on time. And you have to make sure that you get where you're going to go because he's going to get the ball there. You start to see some of that on Wednesday.
Yeah, and he said timing was everything.
Right,
and it looked – because really, I believe it was timing and accuracy result in yards after catch. So if you're able to put the ball in a good place, you throw the football in there when the receiver breaks, it could be, Elike Omaner could be running a 5-yard route, but it could turn into a 15 yards after the catch type thing. So it's very important that Cam Ward's able to get the ball out quickly.
I love that you mentioned that because, and this is you know, a quarterback and receiver talking, right? Because what you said about throwing and making me run to it, you're not throwing as I make the break. You're throwing to a spot. I got to make that break, get that head around, accelerate to it, and through it. And that's what gets you the yards after the catch. You know who was awesome at that? Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown. It wasn't an accident that A.J. Brown led the league with, I think it was 7.9 yards after the catch average. He had the confidence in his hands because he would accelerate through the catch, not slowing down and catching it with his body or anything like that. He's accelerating through it, catch it, and go and get upfield.
And part of that was the anticipation too, because they were on the same page.
Right.
So Ryan Tannehill knew that, okay, A.J. Brown may not have his head around, but if I throw it now, he will. So that goes into the whole chemistry thing that I want to see Cam Ward and Calvin Ridley really start to sync up.
Yeah, and that's even with Iowa Manor. And we didn't get to see too much of Chimere Dike on Wednesday, but I really look forward to seeing if they use him in the slot, running those deep, as Coach Mack would say, transcontinental crossing routes, you know, those deep overs. I want to see how they use Tyler Lockett. We got to see him get a couple quick catches, and it looks like they're going to give him some chances. Now, remember, back in the day, Lockett was a monster punt returner. You know what I mean? So, hey, if you get the ball in his hands and see if he could get you some free yards, that is something. But I want to shift from Cameron Ward a little bit and go to Tajay Spears, because what I felt he did on Wednesday was really good, just the acceleration. And look, the juice was down for the most part. Like, the vibe, the energy was down. They had all those incompletions during routes on air. You didn't see anybody. Like, it was the first day. You know, the first day, it's the first day back. Set the tone for camp. I don't know that they did that, but one guy that did play with some juice on Wednesday was Tajay Spears.
I forgot to put this in my Twitter takeaways, but, man, every time Tajay Spears just found a crease,
yep,
hit it full speed. And that's something one of my coaches in college used to emphasize. He's like, once you find that hole, hit it north and south, mm-hmm, not east and west. And every time Tajay Spears found a lane, he'd hit it full speed, and it could be a 15-yard gain. And, I mean, just explosive. And that's something that I've been talking about with him and Tony Pollard being able to balance each other out. That's something I want to see more out of Tajay Spears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you could get that explosiveness in there. And that's the thing he brings to the table. Like, he's an explosive player. So that is something. What about the tight ends? Did you see anything from Gunnar Helm, Chig Okonkwo? Like, how do you see that whole thing working out, Frank?
Yeah, I thought Chig, I mean, it pretty much what he has been the last 3-4 years, just really athletic. Gunnar Helm, though, I really think has the highest upside, because I feel like we know what Chig is at this point. I feel like we know what Josh Wiley is, but Gunnar Helm, he's a perfect blend of what Josh Wiley is as a blocker and what Chig is athletically. Gunnar Helm's not as athletic as Chig or a David Martin Robinson, but he's athletic enough. And I feel like he's not necessarily elite in anything, but he's good at everything. So I feel like he has the highest upside, and not to mention he's coming in at the same time as a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
So I think that has that's something that should not be glossed over.
You know, to me, the thing that I really like about Gunnar Helm, and I'm seeing it more and more, I know he had a drop on Wednesday, but he did make a nice catch. He has a way of finding space. You know what I mean? And as you mentioned, he's not overly gifted. He's not something you look at and be like, oh, that's a ball. But the dude just knows how to find space. And when you can find space and square up and be a nice big target for your quarterback, you're going to eat. And obviously, Cameron Ward likes throwing him the football. So I'm glad you mentioned that. When you look at this offensive line, again, they haven't been in pads. They'll be in pads next week. But the offensive line, right, no Lloyd Cushenberry. You got Corey Levin. Corey Levin had a chance to clean Cody Barton's clock. And I looked and I watched, and I was like, okay, you're looking out for your – on the screen, you're looking out for your teammate. But with Corey Levin in there and the offensive line, what are you looking for when you watch these guys in the meantime before they put the pads on?
Just the offensive line,
yes,
as a whole?
Yes.
I mean, I've been of the belief that it's going to take a while for them to gel since they've really never played next to each other before. And you have guys like J.C. Latham who are playing a different position. I know he played it in high school and a little in college, but he's still flipping over and never played right tackle in the NFL. I really just want to see that chemistry develop. It's really just as simple as that. I want to see them be on the same page, whether it's a run block, pass protection, whatever. I just want to see them get on the same page. And they're a unit that I'm going to watch more throughout training camp. Yeah. I love watching Bill Callahan. It's like watching a mastermind at work.
Man.
But I really just want to see the chemistry just start to click more throughout training camp.
Mm-hmm. The attention to detail with Bill Callahan and his little playground over there is always fun to see as all the sleds. But you mentioned the protection. I thought it was interesting. Cameron Ward, he said that he has to get better with slide and helping the running back. And there was – Denard Wilson brought some blitzes, man. Like, he brought some. You saw Roger McCreary getting into the backfield. But I think that's another thing that they have to work on is just that communication there up front with the protection and just making sure that they, you know, you identify the blitz and you move to shore it up.
And we really won't have a good idea of what this offensive line is, at least right now, until they put the pads on. Yeah. Because they're not at full speed. They're not contacting each other unless you're Gunnar Helm, then you run right through Davion Ross at the end.
He ran right through that poor little DB, man. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. After seeing them for a day, where do you think this offense can go? What type of production do you think? Do you think this could be a top 15 offense, or are you going to be more on the bottom half of the league offense? And I know it's early.
Yeah.
I know it's early.
And I don't want to make like any super hot takes here, but
no.
I watch Cam Ward and I think he has the potential to lead this offense to be a top 15 offense in year one. I can totally see that. I still don't have the belief that, like, it's like what was it Mike Borgonzi or Chad Brinker yesterday that said they don't have the star power.
Yeah.
I still think you need one or two more stars on that offense for it to really take off.
Yeah.
But I still think that Cam Ward, I mean, you if Will Levis single-handedly lost three games for the Titans last year, if Cam Ward doesn't do that same thing, the Titans are three wins better, 6-11. I really think this team can get to 7-10, but again, I just want to see like Cam Ward get on the same page with Calvin Ridley. If they are able to do that, I can totally see a top 15 offense.
Yeah, 7-10 would be amazing for this team. But to your point, the difference, and I look, you kind of saw it on Wednesday. And again, there's no danger of being taken to the ground, but you know, the bullets are the bullets. Right, and the bodies around you are bodies around you. And the thing that I liked about Ward is he didn't flee the pocket. Because there were times where you would see Levis flee the pocket, get a little jittery, right? And
when you don't have to. When
you don't have to, right? Yeah, okay, you know what? You got your guy getting jack lifted back into you, but give him a chance to anchor and stop the bleeding, right? Because he would see that and just take off. And in the meantime, you have a receiver's route coming open, but he took off. He's not in a position to throw. Two things. Ward doesn't do that, or we haven't seen him do that as much. But then also, he's more equipped to, even if he does take off, because we know of the off-platform throws this guy can make.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something he did in OTAs and minicamp, where he would try to escape a little bit, try to make a play. And he didn't do that first day of training camp. So I already feel like that's a little bit of an improvement, but you are right. That's something that Will Levis did not have, where he, once Cam Ward's outside of the pocket, you know, it can happen. Anything he can make anything happen. So, yeah.
And that anything that could happen could be bad for you, too, because we know he likes to run to the right, throw back across to the left. And
which is that, a cardinal sin.
Yeah, that was two interceptions in minicamp. But nevertheless, that's the gift and the curse. It's the Cam Ward experience, and you're just going to have to endure the growing pains. I do think it was good that Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, they talked about the patience. And honestly, I think the tone, like they're setting the tone, the understanding, right? If you're a Titans fan out there expecting the Super Bowl, yeah, you're not really in tune with this team. Because even Borgonzi himself, you saw
they
just
know.
Like.
They know.
He looked like when our own Joe Dubin asked the question about if this team that takes the field can go win the Super Bowl. He gave the standard, that's always the goal. But we know there's
a lot of work to do on this roster.
Yeah, and he's right. So I would say Titans fans understand that and I guess cheer accordingly. But at some point, good things have to be on the horizon with Cameron Ward and his offense. So we went deep on the offense. We're going to go ahead and go to Run TMC. And after that, I think we need to get into this defense because we got to talk about Jeffrey Simmons. I want to talk about Femi Oladejo and a bunch of other guys. So we'll be right back with Chris Sanders, Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Come on. That music fades. The lights are dim. Coming to you live from the Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Starting as shooting guard for your 76ers. Out of Georgetown, number 25, David Wingate.
And now, starting for the Washington Redskins, also known as the Commanders, at wide receiver, Art Monk.
You are Monk. I'm Art Monk. That means you're Gary Cluck. And we're the posse. Where's Ricky Sanders?
Ricky, why?
Remember Ronald Reagan said that?
Yes.
Where's Ricky Sanders?
Oh, my God. Was that a classic or what, man?
Yeah, that was 1987. And back of my hand, man. That's funny.
I'm going to give you a trivia. You remember the Broncos. What was the three receivers that they had that were pretty good? And they had like a nickname.
Ricky Natil.
Yes.
Vance Johnson.
Come on, man.
And the third one was, hold on, let me think on this. 84, 82. Dang, he wore number 80. Yeah. Oh, who was the third one?
They were called the Three Amigos.
They were called the Posse.
No, from the Denver Broncos, Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah, Three Amigos.
Vance
Johnson, Ricky Natil.
Yeah.
I'm thinking on it.
Oh, I can't remember either. I just remember that.
Oh, wait a minute. I remember the number. Hey, Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, that's right. That's right. Dude, I'm from Denver. I used to watch them growing up, man.
No, they were the
crazy
truth, man.
Vance Johnson was that dude. They wasn't big, but when you talk about route running and making plays, man, them dudes were some dogs, man.
No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. Well, look, man, these receivers for the Titans aren't necessarily the Three Amigos or the Posse or anything like that, but I will say this, watching them on their first day, they may have something to work with. I think it's really going to come down to Cameron Ward. So I want to ask you, because we talk about the Posse, right? And the three amigos and those guys, right? John Elway was the engine to that, right? We look at the other guys in Washington. You know, you had Doug Williams, Jay Schrader. You know, a lot of guys that were the engine to that. How can Ward be the engine to whatever this receiver group is end up being called.
You know, TD, they have a lot of guys. I mean, they got Calvin Ridley, they got Tyler Lockett, they got Van Jefferson, they got some veteran guys that they can make them better. But here's the thing that's going to be the determining factor. They all have to trust each other. I mean, they all haven't played together. Yes, they've been in camp, they've been in OTAs, they watch film, but it's a whole different monster when you actually get into the season. You got to watch film, they got a game plan, they got to do all these things. And here's the key, too, is, TD, they all have the same eyes. They got to read the same coverage. They got to understand the side adjust. They got to understand to be in the same spot. And if they get that, trust each other, communicate, you got some dudes that can play. Because if you look at the guys that I just named, and some other guys I did name, I mean, you got the two rookies that are there, and you got a guy who I really, really love, Restrepo from Miami. So you got some guys there that can play, but the key elements is they got to trust each other and they got to have the same eyes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's the main thing, trust and having the same eyes. And when you say that, being on the same page is very important. Tell me this, because this was one of the things that Cameron Ward spoke about, because I asked him about the transition and just you know, getting used to the spacing. And it's funny because the last time I spoke to him, he was like, hey, man, like I really got to get used to the, you know, the hash marks are closer, the spacing on the field is different. So when I asked him about making that adjustment this time, weeks later, he's like, well, you know, it's still the same field. And he's right. It's still the same field, but it's just spaced within. I'm going to bring this rant to an end by asking you this. What do you think of his comment that, hey, look, timing is everything. As long as I got the timing, it doesn't matter about the spacing of the field.
It does, and that's a great quote that he says, because it is about timing. Because the thing about it is, when you have your route combination, say you're running, you know, the flood, it's all about timing. Guys being in the right spot. Your quarterback's got to see the receiver. He's got to understand where he has to be and understand the coverage. And when you're talking about being on time in the spacing, those are things that make some of the greats, like Tom Brady. He understood the spacing. He understood when to threw the ball on time. And the one thing I love about Tom Brady is, he knew where the ball was going before the ball was even snapped. And that's the same thing that Cam Ward has to do, is he's got to get in his mind that even though it's a timing issue, even though there's spacing, that the coverage is going to allow you to throw the ball on time. Why? Because you already have the ball thrown before the play's even snapped. So that's kind of really what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. And I tell you what, getting the ball out and that timing, it's really you're going to have it routes on air, right? But
yeah, absolutely.
When it transferred to 7-on-7, there was a play on Wednesday, Chris, where you had like a seam route. How can I say it without – you're not supposed to give combos away. Basically, Alec Iemanza ran an in-breaking route, you know, and there was a clear out, right? And it was against zone coverage. And Cam hit the – on Wednesday, they worked mostly on quick passing game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Get to the top of your drop quickly, boom, and get the ball out. And what I saw, and I want to get your take on it. That's why I'm long-winded on it. So what I saw, Ward got to, it was like three-step, boom, right? Got to the top of the drop. He's looking in that window. Iemanza is not there yet. So then he bounced a couple times. And then threw a strike to Iemanza, who eventually got to the window. Like, he waited for him to clear, so to speak. When you see the timing, right? Because when you're focused on the timing and having to get the ball out at the top of your drop and the guy's not there and then you see him regroup and then wait for him, what does that say about the progression and just the maturity of a passer?
You just said the key word is maturity, because the thing about it is when you do walkthroughs, when you do a lot of things like that, the first window's going to be there. And when I say the window, that's where the quarterback's throwing the spot. But sometimes when you have a defense there and they change up the defense, the window might be in the next spot, you know, maybe behind the linebacker. So it's things like that, and understand what's at stake. Because the thing about it is on 7-on-7, but when you're doing walkthrough and doing routes on there, on air, everything is clear. But sometimes when you're doing coverages, sometimes it muddies up the play. So you got to understand that if the window's not there, then there's another window, might behind a linebacker or even, you know, in front of the safety. So it's things like that that he has to understand that is going to make him better. And then on the flip side, and I'm not comparing, you know, him to Will Levis, but the struggle with Will Levis is he was throwing the ball when the guy was open as opposed to throwing it to a spot where the guy's going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with Cam Ward. If he does that, to throw the ball – you know, not when he's open, but throwing it where he's going to be, then that's where we talk about the timing and the spacing coming to fruition.
Yeah, no, and that's a great point. So I thought that was really good that they were able to do that. Burks, he's cleared full go for everything. He actually took part in 7-on-7. He had a catch. He had another one where they threw a fade and he and Brownlee got tangled up. What's left for Treylon Burks? What do you feel? Where are you with him?
You know, I'll never give up anybody because I still think that he has, a lot to prove, but I still he can play because you're not going to get drafted in the first round if you can't play. But here's the thing that's kind of been the Achilles heel in this guy's, lifespan in the NFL is you got to stay healthy. You know, I mean, if you look at last year, when he played in five games, he had four receptions for 34 yards. I mean, that's not going to get it. When you're a big-time player, you know, when you was at Arkansas, you're making plays and you're playing Alabama, you're running by guys, you got to translate that to the NFL. And, you know, the general manager came in, or he said today, you know, in an interview, he said he looks like he's in shape. It looks like he's in a good place. He looks like, you know, he can go out there and do some things. But here's the thing that I'm kind of concerned about. That what the general manager said, you shouldn't have to tell a receiver to come in shape. You shouldn't have to tell him to do that because you have the hunger to play. I'm not saying he doesn't have hunger. I'm not saying he doesn't want to do it. But if I'm a receiver and they keep telling me what I can't do, that I can't stay healthy, that I can't make plays, then by doggone it, just like what you say, just by doggone it, I'm going to prove them otherwise that I can play, that I can stay healthy, and I can be one of the guys in this rotation.
Yeah, I mean, great point. And it's really important to be able to get that timing right and just have everything in sync. What do you make of Will Levis and his I almost said retirement, his season-ending surgery?
What you talking about, Willis? I mean, and I'm being careful when I say this. I'm not negating that he's hurt, 100%. I just think that it's just the timing of it. The timing of it of, okay, I'm hurt, the season's over, and it's a week before camp. I just think that, in my opinion, I respect their camp. I'm not saying anything bad about it, but I just think the timing was bad. If you knew that your shoulder was messed up and you knew you had to get surgery and all that stuff, then why go through OTAs? Why go through these things? Why not get it done, you know, maybe before or way before the season if you knew that? But why would you wait a week before camp to say our season is done? That's kind of what I'm saying. I may be wrong. I may be right, but it just – the timing was pretty bad.
Well, let me ask you this.
Because
I don't know if you've been in a situation. I fortunately haven't. Where surgery was an option, but they're just rest and rehab might clear it up. Let's work. Let's do that first.
Okay. That's
and
a good
then
point.
See
good
if
point.
It clears up.
Yeah. You know what, TD? That's a very, very good question. I just think that, you know, and I just think that the timing of it, you know, if they suspected that we feel like that, then why wouldn't you let the team know earlier or whoever made the decision, let them know early. I don't know. That's just a great question that we can't answer. It may be that, And I want to be careful when I say this. I'm not questioning anybody's integrity.
Right.
I'm not doing
that.
I'm not questioning it. I promise you, I'm not doing it.
You're just saying the timing seems strange.
The timing seems strange, and I think that if I'm in OTAs and I'm throwing the ball and I'm looking good and I feel great and this and that, but then all of a sudden OTAs is out and they figure out that I'm not the guy starting. That's just kind of difficult for me to swallow. Just a little bit. Yeah. Not questioning their integrity. It's just the timing of it.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, from what I understand, and I do remember after that first practice where we had access to Levis, I remember him saying, hey, you know, my arm's a little sore, but that's to be expected. From what I understand, he has some discomfort, right? Okay. And he sought additional medical opinions. And from there, it was like, hey, have the surgery. And to me, so the timing is crazy. But I kind of looking at it from his perspective, I get
point,
it because let's say he didn't have the surgery. He toiled as the backup and then the arm, like the shoulder never really clears and he wants to get traded, right? And let's say the Rams trade for him. They're like, hey, wait a minute. He's not passing our physical. We have an issue with the shoulder. So I think getting it done now, it gives him a chance to kind of get that fully recovered and wherever his next destination is.
Yeah.
to do it. I mean, but it's, yeah, the timing is crazy. Speaking of timing, go ahead. Did you have another one on
that? No. I just think that because we have the two of both worlds, and I think that both, you know, analogies are valid. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? That, you know, we just don't know. We don't know what their camp was saying. We don't know what the doctor said, and I don't know. So I'm just guessing. You know what I'm saying? I'm guessing, not questioning their character, just guessing and say, okay, I don't know. I don't know how his arm was feeling after practice. I don't know how his arm was feeling at home. I don't know. So maybe you're right. Maybe Will Levis got to a point and said, you know what, man, my shoulder is killing me. I can't do this anymore. I need to get this taken care of because I want to have longevity in my career. That's a great analysis.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I think when you look at Legarius Sneed, and we'll wrap it up on Sneed. He's going to start on PUP. It's the knee that's keeping him. I asked Callahan about that on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Specifically, is it the knee that's the issue? We're not focused on the quad. Is it the knee that kept him out of OTAs and minicamp? And is that what's the problem now? And he said yes, right? So you had the knee cleanup back in May.
Yeah.
Do you think, and I still need to find out if it's the same leg. I believe it's the opposite leg, mm-hmm. which would make it his right knee. But what do you make of that?
I mean, if you look at the secondary, I mean, he's the only guy that really scares you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know we have Brownlee that had a pretty solid year last year. You got Mike Brown. You got some other guys. You got Kendall Brooks. You got guys that are basically still unknown. But then you have a veteran guy, which is Sneed, that was a shutdown corner at, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs. I just think that if this team is really going to be successful, then the back end needs to be well. We know the front's going to do pretty good. We got Jeffrey Simmons and we got Sweat. But the concern when I went to camp and looked at it about 4 weeks ago, the concern was the secondary, because the secondary doesn't have the top speed. They don't have a shutdown court. I know Brownlee does okay, but that's going to be the Achilles heel of this defense. So, you know, to answer your question, I just think that, you know, with him being out with more time, I just think it's going to be more segment, because when you talk about camp, you talk about getting rest, when you talk about, you know, being the leader of your defense, if you're not available, then you're not going to be accessible. And I just think that that's what the problem with, you know, Sneed.
Yeah, without a doubt. So we'll see here how everything works out, man. I appreciate you coming on. We'll definitely look to get together at practice and watch some shot, man. Focus on these receivers, DBs.
Man,
focus
what?
On it all.
Man, make it do what it do, just like Ray Charles said. And also, man, I was watching TV, man.
Oh.
And I was watching Hotel Rwanda. And my wife started cheering. I mean, she jumped up and was like, yeah, TD make it. I said, baby, that's not TD. That's Don Cheadle.
At least you called me one of my favorite actors. We out of here on that note.
Peace out.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
That old real shit. There's a war going on outside. No man is safe.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Got that Mobb Deep on, that Jeffrey Simmons bringing us back. Definitely that get hype type of music. Getting hype is something the Titans didn't really do in their first practice on Wednesday. I guess maybe when the pads come on, it'll get better. But nevertheless, here we are. And we went in depth about the offense and some of the things we saw from them. But let's talk about the defense. And I guess, you know, really, it all starts with Jeffrey Simmons, right? And you look at him, he lost some weight. He's been able to feel a little bit quicker. The goal is to be able to get to the quarterback faster and convert the pressures to sacks. He's played up and down the line of scrimmage before. Losing the weight, you got to wonder, like, if he's going to be on the edge a little bit more, Parker. But we got to talk to Simmons on Wednesday, and he really had an in-depth answer when I asked him about just being able to, you know, play up and down the line of scrimmage. And he kind of let his teeth show a little bit, because I asked him about still being able to anchor after losing all that weight. But here's what Simmons had to say.
It's all about trying to create matchups. Because I was around 315, sometimes 320 last year, and I was able to get on the edge and be able to try to get some type of matchup against the Bengals and teams of that nature that I got on the edge last year. I think at the end of the day, it's me and Denard have to, me and Denard Rock, the whole, this coaching staff, just got to, you know, continue to talk throughout training camp. You know, it's a game plan thing, you know, when it's
playing against a heavy run team, those tends to be bad out there.
Right.
When I'm able to find different matchups and got a tackle who I know I can take advantage of, I think that's when we just start talking to Denard and talking to Ross, like, coach, we get a rep out there or whatever it may be. But, you know, right now I'm kind of just, you know, we got guys for that, been on the head. But, you know, I'm always one of the guys that want to be versatile, want to be able to play up and down the line. But I'm all about how can I help the team. If I'm inside or whatever it may be, I know I'm going to get the slot. And them guys on the outside need to go win. And that's what we're talking about. And we just talked about that right there with the group. Like, we have to win our one-on-ones. You got a one-on-one, no exception. Everybody got a one-on-one.
When you bump inside, you know, with that lost weight, is there any focus on like maintaining the strength? Like, how much focus being able to still anchor?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think I lost strength.
Okay.
I mean, I was even, like, I came back a little lighter than I wanted to early on in this mini camp. But, you know, my goal this last couple weeks was to put body mass on. Muscle mass, so, and I think that's what I did. So it's not even about the strength for me. I know I'm a strong person, a strong man. I was there, and I'm out there even doing mini camps. And I was 297. I'm in there holding on the double team against Peter, and you know, then you go on the other side, you got JC, but he's 350. Like, going against guys like that, like, that's how you test your strength. I didn't feel like I lost in there. And right now, I just feel like I'm better. Stronger than I was in.
There you have it right there, right? I didn't realize that he was under 300, but he admitted, right? 297 is still under 300, even though it's close, whatever. But that's really important, right? Maintaining the strength to be able to anchor and also, like, not even anchor, but be able to, you know, power through when the guard and tackle or center try to anchor. That's something you got to be able to have, but then also come off the edge. This team, Parker, the pass rush is just, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it.
And with the retirement of Lorenzo Carter, you definitely need another body. Like, I already didn't feel great about it with Lorenzo Carter, but now that he's gone, I definitely don't feel great about it. So you're going to be relying a lot upon these interior guys like T'Vondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, Keandre Coburn, guys like that. But when
James Lynch.
But when Jeffrey Simmons bumps out to the outside, then your interior is a lot weaker. So the Titans definitely need to go out and get another guy. I just don't know who that guy would be.
You know, quietly, Keandre Coburn plays a pretty significant role in this defense because, as you just said, when you bump outside, you bump Simmons outside, somebody has to be able to get that pass rush from the interior. Coburn at times, like, he had a couple sacks last year. I think Sebastian Joseph Day is another one that you got to put in the mix.
Yep.
So you look at these guys, like the five down linemen that they have. I would say, what, James Lynch, Sebastian Joseph Day, T'Vondre Sweat, Simmons, and Coburn. Like, those are the five I have. But the guys standing up, coming off of the edge. You mentioned Lorenzo Carter being gone. I think they could stand to add a veteran, right? But one thing I do know is the rookie, Femi Oladejo. Like, Femi got a lot of reps. And we're talking about significant ones on practice on Wednesday.
Yep, and he was also being utilized in coverage because during the 7-on-7, he would drop until the hook curl area.
Yeah.
But specifically, he went in the flats quite a bit. So that kind of made me perk up a little bit and wonder how he was going to be used. I didn't know if he was going to be used as more of an edge rusher type role, but it looks like they're going to have him do a little bit of everything.
Well, you know what? If you remember what Denard Wilson says, because I asked him, like, how are you going to develop this guy? Like, we've seen different ways. He said, I'm throwing a sink at him. Now, to me, look, everybody's there. I would probably approach it differently, just looking at him and the build he has and knowing the limited experience at outside backer. And I know playing middle, you're used to seeing the whole field, so he's kind of – I would just – hey, look, man, it's third down and long – it's second and long. Like, go get the quarterback. That's all I want you to do. Go get the quarterback. We'll figure the other stuff out later. But when you lack the depth at the position – you have to have your guy that should be a specialist doing everything.
Hey, young guys can't afford to be young, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be relying upon Femi Oladejo a lot. And that was my thought process. Like, physically, He has all the tools. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. I would just have him go get the quarterback. But yeah. I don't know. Denard Wilson knows more than I do with this. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's getting paid more than we are. So we'll put it that way. I still say you look at some of the guys, right? Jadeveon Clowney's out there. What the heck?
I was going to mention that. He did have 9.5 sacks, I believe, 2 years ago. But yeah. That was
with the Ravens, right?
Yep, with the Ravens.
Man, Chuck Smith got those guys doing some things. But I think – so Za'Darius Smith is still out there. Let me – are you the rotation? You would look at it right now as Arden Key, Draymond Jones, Femi, Jalen Harrell.
Yeah.
Anybody after that on the roster that you think has any noteworthiness?
As of right now, not that comes to the top of my mind, which is kind of sad. I was doing my 53, and I think I was just going through the edge rushers and just I'm not confident in the group. Not confident in the group.
No, I mean, you look at this. Yeah, after those guys that we mentioned, I mean, Ollie Gay, I think, is something. Look, he brings length to the pitcher. He was rostered last year. Desmond Evans is intriguing. I mean, that guy's 6'6", like 260, man. Like, he looks the part. We'll say that, but I don't know how much contribution. To me, I think they could use a guy like Za'Darius Smith. Not only as an extra body, but that's a good mentor for Femi Oladipo. Like, Z's been in the league for a minute. He's a veteran. He's a guy that I don't think will cost a lot. Now, mind you, because Lorenzo Carter, he was like $1.7 million.
Yeah, not a lot of money.
So we're not talking about a lot of money. I don't know what it would take to sign Za'Darius Smith, but he is someone that I would probably recommend as a guy that could help add some juice, but at the very least, veteran experience.
Yeah, and I thought he did, you know, all right with the Lions. I mean, they had a lot of injuries defensively last year, but I thought when he was out there, I thought he played pretty well for that defense. So that's a guy I would definitely look into to bring it in. I'd probably take him before Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, easily. Yeah. Easily before Clowney. You know what I mean? He's had a better career than Clowney, believe it or not. And you know, he was on the opposite side of Bud Dupree. Did you know that at Kentucky? Smith was, he was the lesser-known guy.
Yeah.
And he's had a very comparable career to Bud. Shout out to my guy Bud Dupree out there with the Chargers. But the middle of the defense, right, specifically the inside backers. We know Cody Barton is cemented there, but we saw James Williams get some reps. You see Cedric Gray getting mixed in there. Otis Reese getting mixed in there. What do you make? Do you think they need another body there, or is that rotation of four okay for you?
I don't think another body could hurt, but I'm really high on James Williams. I'm very high. Yeah. I would have him starting next to Cody Barton. I feel like he's gotten the most reps so far out of minicamp, OTAs, first day of training camp. I feel like he's had the most reps alongside Cody Barton, and I love the fact that he was a safety in college, so I believe he'd be faster than your typical inside backer, and he's long. He's lengthy, and he's just – He's kind of like Jarvis Brownlee in the same mindset, like just a street dog, you know? Like, so
well, they grew up together.
Yeah.
So
I really like that aspect of his game. But
I'm glad you mentioned him, and that is something to look at, the conversion from safety to linebacker. I want to talk to him about it because, you know, as linebacker as opposed to safety, like stuff is getting on you a little bit quicker, right? You have a little more interaction with the offensive line, whereas you got to learn how to kind of, like in his case, he's not the biggest guy. You know what I mean? So you got to learn how to be that sports car weaving through traffic like David Long Jr. was, you know. So that is something. But it is going to be an interesting process watching him. When he makes his mind up, he's going to go get the football. That dude goes and gets it.
Kind of like Kenneth Murray in the aspect of, I mean, just see ball, get ball.
Yeah, yeah. But just another – similarity to Murray is like you could misdirect him right out of the picture. So he has to have that controlled aggression. Cedric Gray, though, to me, watching the two, Cedric Gray is clearly the more natural linebacker, which is only right because that's what he's played. I'm waiting to see that switch, right? Like, I don't I like the way he plays. He flows and he does. But I just don't see like that killer from him.
From Cedric Gray?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's another level that he can get to. And
yeah.
Last year was its own thing. But, I mean, this year, it just in practice, like there's got to be more, because I really like the pick when he was coming out of college at North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be another level with him.
It almost feels like he's out there doing just that, feeling things out. And just, you know what's going to happen? He's going to, like, the pads are going to come on, and he's going to blast somebody, and all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh, wow.
There it is.
You know what I mean? That's the type of play. And it's kind of like what he's been stuck doing all along, because remember, to start training camp last year, like, this guy was, you know, he was the third Mike Green Dot, you know what I mean? And he's trying to be the traffic cop, but he still was kind of swimming himself, and then he got hurt, and then he came back later. It was a mess. It's almost like he hasn't fully gotten over that. But when he does, I think you have a player. But I tell you, you got to put some respect on Otis Reese, the fourth
name. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so underrated.
You know,
just forgotten
in this whole thing. And even if he's not the established, clear middle backer next to, inside backer next to Cody Barton, he's still someone that needs to be in the mix, rotate nickel type of situations, right? He could, you know, be a linebacker there, special teams. I think he clearly makes the roster.
Absolutely. Was it Otis Reese last preseason that just blew everybody away but then got hurt? So, or was that
Chance Campbell.
Chance Campbell. That's what I was thinking of.
Crazy. He's not even around.
Yeah, but I agree. Just going back to Otis Reese, like, he's not being talked about enough. I don't hear anybody talking about Otis Reese besides you. I've heard you mention him, but yeah, that guy's got to get some more love, because athletically he has the ability to bump out to nickel if need be, if something were to happen to Roger McCreary. So I think there's a lot of value there.
Yeah, and don't forget about Anthony Orji, the local guy out of Vanderbilt too. That's someone I'll be watching. But I want to get to the secondary real quick. Kevin Winston Jr., he's going to be healthy and a good go. I'm looking forward to watching him, because that dude, when he plays, you know, he'll come downhill and he'll put a hurting on somebody. So you have that. But let's talk about the corners, right? Where are you with these DBs? What are your thoughts on them?
I want to see Legarius Sneed out there, but I know that's a tall order right now. Jarvis Brownlee, I thought, had a couple good pass deflections today. He had that one on Treylon Burks where Treylon Burks ran the go ball. Cam Ward, it was a good ball, probably could have led him a little bit more, but Jarvis Brownlee had a nice pass breakup. I thought Gabe Judy-Lawley had a good mini camp and OTA period, but he's not an NFL starter. And then Marcus Harris.
I like Marcus Harris.
I like
him too. He's a feisty little dude, man.
I like Marcus Harris. He was really good in college at Cal. Cal just had a good secondary overall. And then Daryl Baker still there. I think that, you know, he was probably one of the better corners on this team last year. So, I think, there's value there in keeping him. But the secondary still, I just want to see more.
Yeah, you want to see more. And here's the thing. They got to figure it out as far as being able to get up and have those confrontations. Those physical conversations at the line of scrimmage, because we open this up with the pass rush, and absolutely, that's important. The front end is going to help the back end, but the back end could also help the front end.
Yeah, and it's not just the corners, too. It's the secondary. Like, I haven't been blown away by safeties, corners, whoever. Mm-hmm. I just haven't been blown away yet. Amani Hooker, I mean, he's the staple of the secondary, but everybody else, I just haven't seen much.
Yeah, I want to see more out of Xavier Woods. He's another one. I think when the pads come on, you'll see more, but I think Daryl Baker Jr., he's someone, the shoulder kept him out of OTAs and minicamp. We saw him on the field on Wednesday. So we'll keep watching this. No one-on-ones on Wednesday. I would imagine at some point they're going to mix that in, but it's just going to keep on rolling. So we'll go ahead and put a bow around it on that note. Definitely make sure you come out. Training camp, get back together on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. We'll definitely look forward to being there. And hey, man, shout out Chris Sanders for coming on Run TMC. Shout out you, Parker. And hey, man, all of you fans who tune in Football is back. Thanks so much for checking us out. Search us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your fine listening material. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.